So as we introduce this psalm, I'd like us to note, first of all, that at the top of the psalm, as part of the inspired title, a lot of the things that we read in our Bible that look like titles are not inspired. They were inserted by men. This is part of the psalm. That's why in most Bibles it will not be in bold. It will not be in italics. It's because this was originally written by David, and he called it a song of ascents. A song of ascents was a song that they would have sung as they were climbing the mountain up to Jerusalem in order to worship God. And when David penned it, it would have been as they were coming up to the tent that he had set up for worship of God. He was preparing the people by writing this psalm for the temple that his son would build. And so you have the people of God as they are making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You can imagine these happy families traveling with their animals and with their family members. And they are going up the mountain and they're singing these songs of praise to God. Now, I noted that David wrote it. You can see that this is a psalm of David. But you note as we read the psalm, as we are going to read the psalm, that David not only wrote this for himself, but he wrote it as a worship leader. And he's going to call all Israel to sing with him. Let all Israel say. And this is a pattern that you see in some of the psalms where you have the worship leader or the inspired writer who is then going to instruct the worship leader to say these words, let all Israel say, and then they'll repeat or they'll say something in response. We have songs somewhat like this in our hymnal where you'll have the song leader and the women will sing something and then there'll be a repetition or there'll be a response by the other singers in the group. And that seems to be what Psalm 124 is like. But what they're talking about is some specific calamity. The enemies of God's people coming against them, and then David writes a psalm to say, God delivered us. And their physical deliverance in many ways parallels our salvation from sin and the ultimate redemption of the body that we will receive at the end of time when Jesus comes again. So I'd like us to think through those parallels. Think about their enemies and our enemies, their deliverance, our deliverance, their response, and our response. And if we can come away with something that will help us to trust God and to praise Him, then this study of Psalm 124 will not be for naught. And so I'd like us to begin in the first couple of verses, verses 1 through 5, and note that the theme of the psalm is, the Lord is on our side. This is a song of community praise when they say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Now note that what we are supposed to envision here is the constant barrage of the enemies. Things are bad. Things look really bad. But he asks a rhetorical question. What would have happened if the anger of the enemies had been poured out on God's people and God had not been with them? That's what he wants these Israelites to be thinking about. Where would you be without God? That's an important question for all of us to ask. Where would we be without God? But I want us to note here that he says, God's people can suffer. There are some false gospels out there that say that as soon as you become a Christian, you should expect health, wealth, and life, and enjoy everything that you have. There's not going to be anything bad that comes to you. That leads to disillusionment and disappointment in God. Because that is not the God we serve. That is not the gospel that we put our faith in. God's people will suffer. There's going to be bad things that happen to good people. Now, the difference between God's people and those who are not God's people is that God's people have someone to turn to in the midst of difficulty. Everybody faces difficulty. In fact, Jesus himself said, Christians are not only going to face the difficulties that everybody else faces, they're going to face added difficulties. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. In this world, you will have tribulation. But then he brings in the hope. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where would we be without God? We would have the anger of our enemy, the devil, poured out on us. We would be flooded with wickedness and with discouragement and with sorrow and with difficulty. But with God, there is something to stop the tide. There is something to stop the flood. And that's where he goes to. Without God, there would be no hope of deliverance. But with God, there is no possibility of defeat. Let me say that again. Without God, there is no hope of deliverance. With God, there is no possibility of defeat. Look back just a couple of pages to Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. See what the psalmist here is saying? He's saying, God is for me. You know, it's one thing for us to sit back and say, Psalm 124, the Lord is for us. And then in times of discouragement, we step aside and say, but he's not really for me right now. Psalm 118 personalizes the promise that is made to the congregation. The Lord is for me. He's for you. He's for each and every single one of us. And note here again in Psalm 118, the implication, the conclusion is, man can't do anything to us that God cannot deliver us from. Note also that we not only get help directly from God, but we get help from God in the midst of those who are helping us. This is what our family is for. God sometimes helps directly. God sometimes helps indirectly. God is for us. He's with us. Man cannot do anything to us. And then we can look on satisfaction at the devil, knowing that he cannot stop us. And those who are working for the devil cannot stop us. This is a victory cry for God's people. We will be victorious with the Lord. The Lord is on our side. There is no possibility of defeat. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. For those of us that have been Christians for any amount of time, we've probably taken refuge in these passages. Let's read it again together. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 31, says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Let's pause there for just a second. Notice, Paul says, here's the test. If God was willing to give Jesus, how will he not freely give us all things? If God was willing to give the greatest sacrifice, he's willing to give the smaller things as well. He will deliver us. Keep reading it. Look at this deliverance. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Pause there for just a second. Notice that earlier in the chapter, he talked about who's interceding for us in our prayers. That is the Holy Spirit. Christ is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Notice, he just described all the bad things that man can do to us. He can take away our livelihood. He can take away our food. He can take away our clothing. He can make us hurt. But notice the implication is he can't do anything lasting to us. He can't take us away from the love of Christ. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, what things? All the bad things that could be happening to Christians. He says, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God has given us all things in Jesus Christ, including, and most importantly, victory. We overwhelmingly conquer in the love of Jesus Christ. I don't see how we could read these verses and not say, God is on our side. He's there for us. In the midst of any difficulty, He is for us. Now, how's He going to be for us? We're going to keep reading and we're going to see that sometimes we don't always have the answers. But we're going to see that God is for us and that He has helped us and He will help us again. We're going to see that He helps us by those who help us. Psalm 118. Those around us, other Christians. And we're going to see that He's going to help us and that one day when this life is over, we're going to receive the eternal reward of seeing the face of God. Let's see that. But before we get there, we need to note the response of the psalmist. He doesn't say how God delivered them from their enemies. He just says God delivered them from their enemies. And here is the appropriate response. Praise of God. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed carries the idea of thanksgiving to the Lord. He is to be praised. Psalm 124 and verse number 6. Psalm 124 and verse number 6. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Because they had received deliverance, he says, blessed be the Lord. Look with me in Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18, verses 46 through 49. Psalm 18, verses 46 through 49. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. We sometimes sing a song with those very words. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent men. Pause there for just a second. He says, the wicked people, our enemies, they rise up. God lifts us up higher than our enemies. Therefore, look at the response, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. How do we respond to God's deliverance? We praise Him. If He's lifted us up, we lift Him up. We praise Him. We give Him all the glory and all the thanksgiving. And notice that the psalmist here, David, is not ashamed to praise God. He says, I'm going to praise you among the nations. It's one thing for us to sit in the safety of this congregation where everybody loves the Lord. And when we talk about salvation, we say amen. We say praise the Lord, hallelujah. But David says, it's not just where it's favorable that I'm going to praise God. It's going to be among those very peoples that were against me. Among the outsiders, among the nations, the Gentiles, that I'm going to praise the name of the Lord. What will we do? Will we praise God for His deliverance, even when we're among the people who don't want to hear about God, when they don't want to hear about the gospel? David says, when I think about what you've done for me, the only appropriate response is to praise your name among all people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God delivers His people from difficulty, He receives the glory. I don't think we have all the answers as to why God allows bad things to happen to good people. We don't even see in Psalm 124 why He lets the enemies get as far as they did. But I do find in Isaiah 48 that God allowed some bad things to happen to His people because He wanted to deliver and receive the glory. Isaiah 48, what we're going to read here should tell us that God sometimes allows bad things to happen as a test for His people so that they will turn to Him and he will get the praise among the nations. Isaiah 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? What's God saying here? He's saying, I'm delivering you from affliction so that everyone will realize it was not by their power or by their person that they were delivered, but it was only because of the name and the glory of God. Why do we suffer? So that we can turn around after deliverance and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember that God has a bigger picture than we do. It's all about his glory. And anything that happens in our life, whether the good or the bad, is to his glory. It can't be any other way. And so God says, I let you burn in the fires of affliction so that when I saved you, you would praise me and all others would praise me. God receives the glory. God receives the blessing. And he will not share his glory with another. God allows people to escape trouble so that they will praise. Back in our text, Psalm 124, verse number 7. After he said, blessed be the Lord who has not given us to be torn by their teeth, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped. You know, from one perspective, it's as if we have gotten out of the cage. But we need to remember who opened the door. God is the one who allows us the escape so that we can say with the rest of God's people, blessed be Yahweh. Blessed be the Lord. He is the one who has saved us and provided the escape. It's hard. But we need to have the mentality of Job and the psalmist. Whatever happens, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that brings us to the final passage, the final verse of our psalm. They say, not only has God delivered us, but he moves to the present. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The name of God here, Lord in all caps, Yahweh, Jehovah, represents his power and his faithfulness. It represents who he is. You know, Yahweh is not just the description God decided to use so that we know him from the other gods, so that we could distinguish Yahweh from Baal. Now, what we have here is the representation of God. Yahweh means he is eternal. Yahweh is the name he chose when he entered into covenant with his people. Yahweh is the one who provides and who always provides for his people. Jehovah, Yahweh, this is the name that gives help to his people. Remember how we talked about in the previous psalm, that our help is from the Lord, that he is for us among those who help us. The psalmist is coming all the way back to the base and saying, God is the one who helps. He didn't just help one time. He's going to keep on helping us. That word is a word that carries the idea of support. What are we supported by? By the foundation of the name of God. And I find it interesting that we begin our Christian life by being baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we are to continue to do all in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3 and verse 17. Our life is founded. Our help is in the name, the person of God. And because he is God, he is I am who I am. That means he's always ever present for us. And what does the psalmist do? The way he proves that God is going to continue to be our help is not by going back to the specific deliverance of Israel, but by going all the way back to the beginning. Look with me in Psalm 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I think it was Ryan who prayed, our Creator. This is where the psalmists go back to. This is where the New Testament goes back to. In Acts 4, when they prayed together, God who made the heaven, the earth, and the seas, and all that in them is. You see, how do we know God is going to help us? Because He spoke a word and the heavens and earth came into existence. And by His word, He is going to deliver us. I read a book some years ago that was actually a book on the concept of the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is and how God works through the Holy Spirit. And one of the important points that the writer of that book made is not just to think of the Word as the Scripture, though that does contain the Word of God, but the Word of God could also be Jesus. The Word of God could also be His verbal Word. And one of the points that he made is that the Spirit works through the Word of God. And when we think about how that the Spirit is with us, that Christ is with us, that God is with us, He's going to do that through His Word. The same Word that brought the heavens and earth into existence, the same Word that brought Jesus up from the dead, the same Word that is protecting us, that Word that is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Word. That's God's Word comes from His character, which is His name. And He is going to deliver us. Because if He could say, let there be light. And if He could say, let there be a space in the skies. If He could say, let there be land and oceans. And then He could come back and say, let there be sun, moon, and stars. Let there be these birds and these fish creatures. Let there be man. And let there be the animals. If God can say that, what chance do the devil and our enemies have against us? Our help is in the name of the Lord who created heaven and earth. Very similar statement made in Psalm 121 and verse 2. Read that on your own time sometime. You see, the help God offers through His Word, by His name, is a word of salvation and protection. Quickly, let's look at Psalm 33 and verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse number 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Note here, God is going to protect us because He is our help. Now, what do we need to do? Wait. Let that sink in for a second. I'm not going to comment. But if the Lord is our help and our shield, we need to wait on Him. Look with me in Psalm 70 and verse number 5. Psalm 70 and verse number 5. Verse number 4 says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Now note that just because we need to wait on God doesn't mean we're not praying to Him. Please, come quickly. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. It says there in the previous verse that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. He knows what we've been through. He's gone through the very same things. He says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The name of God is our help, but we have got to come to His throne to receive the grace that we need for help in time of need. You see, God wants to save us. God wants to protect us, but we're going to have to trust in His name. Come to Him and wait for His deliverance. And that brings us to the final point of our study. That when our help is in the name of the Lord, and God's name is among us, then that's going to give us an assurance that passes our understanding. Look with me in Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 6. Here's the part we need to do. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. That's our enemies. Here's why. Verse number 6, Deuteronomy 31. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. How are we able to face the enemies? How are we able to face the crises in life? How are we able to continue through this without falling into deep despair? God goes with us. And it doesn't have to be that you have two or three before God gets there. When we call upon Him individually, He's with us. He's with you, He's with me, He's with you and you and you. He's with all of us. And when we leave the sanctuary of a family of Christians and we go into the world and we face the real battles, we need to know that God has not left us when we went through the doors. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And if we are calling on His name every day, and we are going by His name, that is, we are called by His name, Christians, then as we follow Jesus out into the world, He goes with us. As the writer of Hebrews would say, we're in a race. Jesus is the author and perfecter. What's that mean? He's with us at the starting line. He's going to be there at the end. And He's with us all along the way. Our help is in the name of the Lord. We can face the difficulties in this life. Because one, the Lord is on our side. And He continues to be our help. And the middle section is very important. Therefore, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank You so much that You are with us. That You care for us, that You love us, that You deliver us from all difficulties. Father, thank You for saving us from our sins in Jesus Christ. And thank You for continuing with us through the difficulties we face. Help us to never give up on You, knowing that You will never give up on us. Father, sometimes as the psalmist, we feel forsaken. But help us to trust that You have never truly left us. And that if we will draw near to You and wait for You, we will see great things happen by Your name. Father, we call upon Your name and ask for salvation and protection. May You receive all the glory, and we bless Your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The same God who delivered Israel from physical enemies is the God who wants to deliver each and every single one of us from the ultimate enemy, Satan, sin, and death. And if you will come to the Lord this morning, you will call on His name, He will provide forgiveness, He'll provide salvation. And you won't have to leave through these doors wondering whether God's presence is with you. For you will be His child, and He will be holding you by the hand, walking you each step of the way. If you need to become a Christian this morning, the Bible says simply that if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll turn from your sins and be buried with Him in baptism, then you will be His child, forgiven of all your sins.